Stephen Colbert talked about Matt Gaetz showing nude photos of women to colleagues while on the House floor and said, remember, this is where he works. So those mandatory sexual harassment trainings or office holds where the examples they give are also outrageous. You're like, who is this possibly for? It's for Matt Gaetz. How dumb is Matt Gaetz? Asked Colbert. Dude, don't leave a paper trail. Use the Cash App that goes all the way up in the cloud. And then when it rains, the evidence disappears. Seth Meyers with Congress returned after a 2-week recess. Not much, just hung out, said Matt Gaetz before anyone could talk. Trevor Noah, Matt Gaetz, Florida congressman and fraternity brother who wants to show you something in his room, has been under fire since news broke of him being under investigation over possible sex trafficking. But like a Karen in a Bath and Body Works, he refuses to back down. Kimmel, let he who has never Venmoed a prostitute cast the first stone. Trevor, I mean, you think you know a guy and then it turns out, yeah, you're totally right. You do know him. You know him pretty well. Seth, the House Ethics Committee announced it will launch an investigation into Republican Congressman Matt Gaetz over allegations that he, quotes, may have engaged in sexual misconduct and or illicit drug use, shared inappropriate images or videos on the House floor, misused state identification records, converted campaign funds to personal use, and or accepted a bribe, improper, gratuity, or impermissible gift, or as Republicans call it, running for re-election. Great joke there. Couple leftovers about the Georgia voting laws. Trevor Noah said, Georgia Republicans decided to basically make voting more like all of the worst parts of flying. All right, so there's going to be really long lines. No one can have water. And if you're late, you can go F yourself. Trevor again, it's great to see corporations use their influence in support of voting rights. But just to be clear, they didn't do this out of the goodness of their hearts, all right? They did it because liberals were threatening to boycott them if they didn't speak out. It's actually amazing what you can get companies to do when you threaten a boycott. I mean, just the threat of a boycott got Coca-Cola to back a voting rights group. Think about it. That means with just a little more pressure, we can probably convince Coke to put the cocaine back in their drinks. John Oliver was on Seth Meyers, and they talked about the death of Prince Philip. Oliver pretended to be solemn, saying, it's difficult when a 99-year-old with such a checkered moral history leaves us. It's hard to know exactly how to feel or, indeed, to actually articulate how you actually do. Oliver said some people were telling him not to speak ill of the dead at first, but that faded away when some spoke too complimentary of the late prince. John said, it feels like at that point all bets are off. Then the people who were biting their tongue go, F you, here's what he was like. Oliver joked about Prince Philip and Queen Elizabeth II being cousins, saying they were very close, and I don't think it was just restricted to them. I believe the family is familiar with one another. It speaks to their closeness. In the way they can't be close emotionally, they certainly are close biologically, and I think that's something. Seems like a good time for me to plug Palace Intrigue. I'm the writer on that podcast. 5 minutes a day about the royal family. We're all about Prince Philip this week. Palace Intrigue, wherever you get your shows. I'm excited for this one. I'm seeing a lot of rumors that on May 4th, which is like a Star Wars day, I hate this. It's May the 4th, as in May the 4th be with you. So corny, I hate it. But every year on May 4th, the Star Wars people do Star Wars things. The rumor is that Star Wars Detours will debut on Disney Plus. Now, if you're not hip to what this is, it's a CGI animated Star Wars parody series created by Seth Green and Matthew Senreich. Those are the Robot Chicken guys. So it's basically Robot Chicken Star Wars all day, every day. The series takes place between the Star Wars prequels and the original trilogy, and according to Seth Green, 39 episodes were completed. The rumors I'm seeing today suggest 52 episodes were completed. The series was announced in 2012 during Star Wars Celebration. I was there. I saw clips. This thing exists. But it was buried after Disney acquired Lucasfilm and Star Wars. And, you know, it's been hidden away and people have been wondering, are you ever going to show this thing? Now, some of the cast include Ahmed Best as Jar Jar Binks, Anthony Daniels as C-3PO, Billy Dee Williams as Lando Calrissian, Weird Al as Droid 4LOM. Donald Faison did voices in this thing. I think he also voiced some Lando stuff. And maybe the reason it wasn't ever shown is Andy Richter is in it. Andy Richter got everything canceled. I think he alone got Conan canceled 3 times, maybe? Anyway, it's called Star Wars Detours. We'll find out on May the 4th. Hey, remember that Friends reunion, the one HBO Max was going to launch with, and apparently none of you care about based on last week's Seinfeld versus Friends poll? Well, the BBC says it was finally shot last week. Yes, the one-off show brought together the sitcom's original cast of Matthew Perry, Jennifer Aniston, Courtney Cox, Lisa Kudrow, Matt LeBlanc, and David Schwimmer. TMZ reports while a live audience participated in the reunion, they were mostly union extras, COVID screened, and hired for the gig. The revived set, partially based outdoors for COVID safety protocols, includes the iconic water fountain that the cast splashed around during the show's intro, soundtracked by the Rembrandts theme tune, I'll Be There for You. The BBC says it remains to be seen how many other props make an appearance, but pictures circulating on social media appear to show much-loved elements of Monica's apartment, including the sofa and the empty picture frame on her door. David Schwimmer had been on Graham Norton's show and said, I'll be myself, I'll be David. We're not in character, we're all ourselves, the real people. However, he added, but there is one section, I don't want to give away, where we all read something. Jennifer Aniston had told Variety, I will not be Rachel, although I kind of am. We're sort of little fragments of them. Not really, but yeah. So the speculation is there's a table read there. No date yet, we'll let you know. From Deadline, Arrested Development alum Michael Cera has joined Amy Schumer's original comedy series Life and Beth, formerly known as Love Beth. Life and Beth is a better name, I must say. In Life and Beth, Beth, played by Amy Schumer, her life looks pretty good on paper. Impressive to everyone she grew up with. She makes a good living as a wine distributor. Yeah. She's in a long-term relationship with an attractive, successful guy and lives in Manhattan. When a sudden incident forces Beth to engage with her past, her life changes forever through flashbacks to her teen self. Beth starts to learn how she became who she is and who she wants to become. We'll go on her journey towards building a more authentic life, learning to express herself and living in an intentional way. A trip down memory lane is a strong source of trauma, comedy, and moving forward. Michael Cera will play John, a farmer and chef who was always honest and to the point. And I'm going to be honest and to the point myself. One season and canceled. That's my prediction. We'll see if I'm right. From The Hollywood Reporter, Amazon has greenlit a Canadian version of LOL. This will be hosted by Jay Baruchel. It's based on the Japanese format Hitoshi Matsumoto Presents Documental. That was just fun to say. In which comics compete to try and get each other to laugh while keeping a straight face themselves. No word yet in which Canadian comedic actors and stand-up artists will compete in the six-part Amazon original series. Baruchel said via statement, I think we all know that as a contestant, I wouldn't last very long, so I appreciate being able to host and not be the first eliminated. Amazon has already launched versions of this in Mexico, Australia, and France. Amazon Canada is getting it done. They've already also greenlit the original series, The Kids in the Hall. Yeah, new version. And All or Nothing, Toronto Maple Leafs. Not a comedy, or maybe it is. While also maintaining a production hub north of the border for its own U.S.-originated originals. Very cool. Kevin Hart likes to work. He's got another movie. This from Deadline. Man from Toronto. It's got a release date January 14th, 2022. If you want to get online now, theaters are back, baby. Man from Toronto follows the world's deadliest assassin and New York's biggest screw-up as they're mistaken for each other at an Airbnb rental. Woody Harrelson, Kevin Hart. Yeah, that'll be good. I want to thank you guys. Last week was, like, by a lot the most listened to week for the show yet. So really appreciate everybody following on Apple or Spotify, wherever you get your shows every day. You are voting this week for Comedy's Top Dog TV Show Edition. The contest is Chappelle's Show versus Seinfeld sitcom. Again, the show's Seinfeld versus Chappelle's Show, not the people. A lot of people chiming in. Lori Terrell Wright says Chappelle's Show. 1997 Titans 74. Chappelle, Jerry McClain took a break from cooking. All your stuff looks great. I stalk you on Instagram, Jerry McClain. The Chappelle Show. Every single episode is iconic and still funny AF today. Lane Spurka said, I laughed harder at some of Chappelle's skits, but I'll cast a vote for Seinfeld for doing 180 episodes. Good take there. Susan said, ooh, me likey. I'll go ahead and say Seinfeld. I think that show's reach was so far. I think Chappelle's the better comedian and a trailblazer, no doubt. But Seinfeld speaks to many generations. My Gen X son, parentheses a rapper. My 81-year-old father, parentheses black. Chappelle to me, revolutionary as it was, just didn't bring anything as broad as Seinfeld. So we've got a battle here. Seinfeld the show versus Chappelle's show. Go to Instagram at Daily Comedy News. Find the little graphic there and comment, and I will read your comments on the air. I was also listening to one of those shows about podcasting, and even though I work as a podcaster myself professionally, this was good advice. And what the advice was is sometimes you say something every day and it becomes background noise and you need to slow down a little. So I'm going to slow down here and remind you, if you like the show and you would like to support the show, What you can do is you can go to buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. You can either do a one-off donation, you know, $5 is a suggested amount, but whatever. Or if you want to just do a recurring thing because you like the show and it'll just automatically grab $5 out of your account every month, I would appreciate that. buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. So for the rest of today's episode, I'm going to read from theage.com. They are really, really covering the 2021 Melbourne International Comedy Festival, and they are starting to zero in on who's going to win Most Outstanding Show. That will be announced on Saturday. So normally I'd push this kind of thing to weekend content, but since they'll announce it Saturday and because of time zone disadvantages, their Saturday's my Friday, I figured let me do this today. If you don't care about the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, you are dismissed and I will see you tomorrow. Now, the reason I talk about these things is for me as a comedy snob, it's like, yeah, okay, we all know Chris Rock is funny. I find it really interesting to see people off the beaten path. So looking at the international scene is always interesting to me. Also, these are the up-and-comers. Today's Who's That is tomorrow's star. So let's see who the nominees for Most Outstanding Show at the 2021 Melbourne International Comedy Festival are and what The Age is saying. They're really high on Lou Hege's Low Breed Show, 5 stars. They wrote, is there an award for most improved player? Last time I saw Hege, he was solid. Now he's utterly extraordinary. The deadpan Sydney stand-up gets straight into it and delivers as many jokes per minute as fellow blue chip performers Reese Nicholson, targeting police, vegan haters, and unisex toilets. This is the future we've all fought for. They gave 5 stars to Geraldine Hickey's What a Surprise, saying a 6:10 show means 2 things. 1, you can be home on the couch by 8 o'clock. Ace. Yeah, I love it too. But people don't generally laugh as loudly boo because they're only 1 drink into their night. It's a testament to the way Hickey builds her set with calm that she can have a full supper room crowd heaving back and forth on their seats within the first 10 minutes using small mouth movements and vulnerable sides as she recalls her 40th birthday party / festival. Ruben K, the Butch is Back, also got 5 stars. Kay weaves deeply personal stories of being the weird kid in school and the traumatizing effect of coming out to his disappointed father with flawless renditions of The Cure's Boys Don't Cry. See, I'm smiling just even reading that, so that sounds like a great show. 4 stars to Ivan Aristeguieta. I talked about him the other day. They gave 4 stars to Michelle Brazier's Average Bear, saying her work with Double Denim and Auntie Donna, love those guys, got her here, a sold-out room in the buzziest venue in town. And she makes a good fist of it while performing the catchiest song of the festival. Listen to this title, The Fingering Shed. They gave 4 stars to Aaron Chin. Chin ripped into several people in the front row who have retired, measuring his put-downs, then adding a wicked little schoolboy snigger. One punter with a distracting guffaw. I love the Australian language in these articles. One punter with a distracting guffaw who drew his attention happened to be a fellow stand-up. Josh Cake, you're a better audience member than comedian. Don't know who Josh Cake is, but that's a good slam. They did point out this would be a 5-star rating if Chinny Baby tightened up 15 minutes and never let up with the heat. We know we can give us 60 minutes of straight fire, so sounds like that show's a little long. Nikki Britton got 3.5 stars, but they said she skillfully dealt with 2 hecklers, a husband and wife, who stood up at their seats and bellowed to all and sundry why they were at the show, how long they'd been married, and much more. The husband even made unashamed references to his appendage. Britton milked every drop of hilarity from the hecklers before expertly shutting them down for the remaining 45 minutes. Sounds like they won't be voting for David Cork. He got 3 stars, and they said, a show is far too reliant on a single storyline that doesn't quite merit an hour of material. And having been meant to stage the show last year, you know, pandemic and stuff, and being 3 nights into the run, his over-reliance on notes is extremely distracting and not something you would expect from a seasoned veteran. That is not a good review. The 2021 Melbourne International Comedy Festival Award for Most Outstanding Show will be announced on Saturday. The Age, who wrote all this stuff, is a festival media partner. That is your comedy news for today. Follow the show on Spotify or Apple. See you tomorrow.